From the verb innovare, which means simply to innovate, to reform, or to change. But what is innovation? It's often tough to define, but we know it when we see it. It's a new idea, creative thoughts, new imaginations, methods, theories. It's bettering ourselves. But we take these actions often out of necessity. So what if we could harness the scrapper mentality, the hustler, the actions of those who are just trying to survive, and put it into everyday use? This is my passion project. I've attended some of the world's largest innovation conferences, developed the latest and greatest technology, and produced change within organizations who were built on and preach tradition. Now I'm here to help entrepreneurs and everyday individuals make small changes and establish a new normal through new methods, ideas, and standards to change your life forever. I'm Roy Edwards, and welcome to the Innovare Project.
I welcome you to Innovare. Yeah, this is where we innovate. This is the podcast where changes are made. If you're not growing, then you're dying. Innovation is the key to surviving. This is Innovare, where we ain't scared to make that change and create a new way, If you're ready to learn and sit back and just chill, it's about to get real. This is Innovare.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another episode of the Innovare podcast. I'm your host, Roy Edwards. And welcome on in. I got some quick housekeeping to go over. Guys, if you are here because this was shared to you, welcome. But we believe in the law of reciprocity here. And so that means that you are now tasked to share this episode out or this show out to two additional people. Please like, subscribe, and review, as that helps us get the word out and bring more people into the Innovare mindset. Now, guys, this week we're going to be talking about exactly that. We're going to be talking about mindset. We're going to be talking about self-talk. We all struggle with this. We all struggle with doubt. We all struggle with self-talk, and we all have this highlight reel in the back of our mind that's telling us and reminding us of how much we cannot do or things that we're not good at. So today we're actually going to break this down a little bit. We're going to go into how to avoid spiraling into these negative thoughts. We're going to talk about how to get over these speed bumps and these roadblocks that we place in front of ourselves and how they're actually not necessary. How a little bit of gratitude goes a long way and how a morning routine can set you up for success. I think my favorite thing about a morning routine is that it sets the tone for the rest of the day. I always tell people to make your bed. And you've probably heard me say this before, but if you make your bed when you get up in the morning, then when you return at the end of the day, you'll see physically see your accomplishments, and you'll be reminded that you actually did get something done that day. Even if the rest of your day went to complete crap, you'll still be reminded of those little things that you got done. And it sets the tone and creates a wave of wins. And those small little wins, that's what we're aiming for here. Those 1%, getting 1% better. So whenever you have a thought creep into your mind that's trying to tell you of things you can or cannot do, take action immediately. Make a small little change. Don't let those negative thoughts creep in. But don't take it from me. Take it from Shaylee Edwards. Let's get started. Shaylee Edwards has worked in behavioral change in varying capacities for more than 7 years and specializes in belief and identity transformations that seamlessly align clients with healthy internal and external habits. Her company, HabitBook.com, offers customized structure and support to systematically shift beliefs towards greater empowerment, individuality, and peace. Welcome into the Innovare podcast, Shaylee Edwards. Shaylee Edwards, first off, welcome, obviously, but fantastic name. I don't know that I could get a better guest's name if I really tried. I went searching for last names, and there it was. It was the greatest last name on the planet staring at me. So welcome on in, Shaylee.
Yeah, I changed it so I could have that access point.
That's right.
How am I ever going to get on there?
Yeah, and it worked. I Googled. Yeah. I basically just Googled myself over and over and over again. And I guess I forgot to type in Roy one morning. And up pops Shaylee.
Yeah.
So thanks for hopping on. I appreciate it. I always start out every show learning a little about the person who I have on. And so for those of you who are wondering and saying, Edwards, no, we're not related, at least I don't think so. Maybe you might show up at a family reunion. We'll have to figure that one out. But tell me about your side of the Edwards family that you grew up with.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. Really appreciate what you're doing. So thank you for having me on. My background is probably not too different than a lot of people in my field. I started actually in financial management consulting, worked with an accounting firm in DC, did some stuff at the IRS, National Science Foundation. And then I lost my sister in 2011 and kind of had this like idea that, you know, I have to do something that's like cool enough for her to watch and like big enough for two. So I left consulting and thought that I would affect that change or impact the world by helping people feel better through fitness and nutrition. So did that at Equinox for a few years. And while I was there, actually, I started to bring like the data side to development and found some ways that you can use language and data to shift behavior that previously wasn't available. So I think it's pretty amazing to consider that all the information we need to be and do whatever we want is like, you can Google it, you can Google how to be anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's a little space between having that information and being able to like bring it into reality. And so that's really where I specialize, in making things that weren't previously available.
Yeah, I love that. And so I love that. And the more that I do the show, the more that I find that people jump around different things and they start out. So my story is pretty similar to that, where I started out working for the federal government, realized pretty quickly that it didn't really align with who I thought that I was going to be, and jumped around. Like I was in radio for a little while. And then just kind of found and stumbled upon what it is that I do now, which was something I had always done. And so it was just, I never really realized that it would end up being what I did. I always saw like building and automation, stuff like that. Like when you're a little kid, right? It's like, I do websites, you know, like I'm big on the internet. Like that seems like more of a game, I guess, you know, like how my son right now, my son wants to be a YouTuber. And like for us growing up, if we had told our parents like, hey, I want to record myself on videos and publish it out to the world, and like, that's what I'm going to be, we'd get laughed at. And so it's like you finding these new professions and seeing these things come up with what it is that you're truly passionate about and truly good at is really cool. And I love that you said that you wanted to go and help people. So have you always had that mindset? I mean, obviously after what happened, you wanted to play closer attention to that, but was that something that you grew up wanting to do? And was that, you were always passionate about helping people?
Yeah, I think like strangely as a kid, I was like fascinated with suffering. It's like, why is this? Like, how is this? What can I do? And that's been a really amazing question to narrow in on over the years. So I've always been on the path. It just like at different times I was willing to accept it, and other times like not so much.
Yeah. I'm not to go off a tangent. I know we have our notes here, but I do want to do that for a second since you were into that kind of stuff. So I read a book recently that said that there are two things that connect all people, all living things. And one is that we're born, and one is that we die. And so those are the two common denominators between individuals and how we can communicate with one another, connect. And we're all thinking about these things all the time. And so That final milestone, I guess, I use it as a motivational thing, right? I think like one of the most motivating things that somebody can tell you is that you're going to die. Like your clock is ticking, right? I like it as, I enjoy it as a motivational tool. And you said that that you found that fascinating when you were little. Was that something that you thought about as going forward with your career? Was that like that? Was that part of, when you say that you moved careers, was that part of it? Just saying like, hey, like, clock's ticking here?
I think so. I mean, if I hear what you're saying correctly, you're saying like, you zero in on that as sort of like a motivating factor. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think for me, that was more like, when I was asking about suffering, it was more like my personal experience in a way that I kind of like lived the question. So I think I find that a lot with clients where they have like this one thing that they're really passionate about their whole lives. And then it's like, oh, wow, like that was what I needed to figure out for myself. Or that's like what I was working on for myself. So whether that's simplifying or growth or creation, like it seems to be very, like very closely tied.
So with that, I wanted to get in now to like morning routines. So I know this is something you talk about a lot, and you guys, you talk about how to help people with internal, external habits, which we'll get over. We'll get into that here in a little bit about what that is and what the differences are. But when I think of habits, I think of morning routines. And so there are things that you do when you wake up. Like one of the things that people always ask me, they're like, what's something that I can do tomorrow to like help myself? I say, make your bed. You know, like that's like a big thing for me. It started after I read this book called Make Your Bed. And so I always got really big into morning routines and morning habits. And so what are the importance of morning routines? And do you have a morning routine?
Yeah, absolutely. I find that they're important because they sort of frame the day. And so whatever you interact with at a subconscious level, that you kind of continue to interact with. And so if I start off my day asking, like, why am I so tired? All day long, I'm going to find answers that reinforce that I'm tired, or why I'm tired, how I'm tired. And so while there is value in touching something every morning in a way that it adds up, such as like reading a little bit or whatever, I find that the biggest value add there is it kind of creates a frame for you to interpret the rest of your day. So if I'm going into the day knowing I've got these things I'm accomplishing, I have these things that I am, these are the things that are important or interesting to me, all day long I'm answering those questions, I'm looking through that frame.
So what do you do in the morning? Like what is part of your morning routine?
I generally train, so I lift pretty quickly, and depending on like the timing of that, it'll be that. And then I have my own habit book, which is essentially a tool that maps out what's important to my quality of life. And I'll kind of run through that, record what I did yesterday, and then I'll read something about wealth mindset, something about oneness. I'll sing. I'll play Lumosity. I'll write some things I'm thankful for and pick an anchor word for the day.
All right. So anchor word. Let's start there, because you just gave me a lot to unpack there, including singing, which I won't let you off the hook that easy to just drop that you sing every morning and then step away from it. So yeah, break that down, the anchor word. So what is that?
So as a mindfulness strategy, it's really helpful. Essentially, you pick a word for the day that whenever your mind's like a whole bunch of different places, you're like, no, we're right here. Faith, right here. Faith. So it's kind of like a chew toy.
And so is that something that, You're mindful of that through the entire, as the day goes on, right? And so how do you go about choosing your anchor word?
Pretty intuitively, like what feels hot.
So it's just, you wake up in the morning, feet hit the ground, and you're like, the word of the day is, and the Sesame Street characters come out and we have a parade, and like, that's it. Like, that's the moment.
It flashes. Somebody writes it.
Right.
A jet stream.
A little magic wand comes across the screen.
Unstoppable.
Right. Well, yeah, I haven't heard of that before. Doing an anchor word. It makes complete sense though, because to touch back on what you had talked about at the beginning of that, where you're saying however it is that you feel in the beginning of the day, that's generally carries along with you because you're telling yourself that subconsciously. You're like, I feel like shit today, and then that goes throughout the day. Like I'll tell you right now, I walked upstairs earlier and I was like, I don't feel good, and it stemmed from last night. Where I was like, man, I don't feel good. I don't really feel like doing Monday. You know, I don't really feel like doing another day kind of a thing. And I woke up. I was like, I don't feel good. And throughout the whole day, that's been the back of my mind. I don't feel good. I don't feel good. Now I've continued to do the work and I've gotten over that. But I do think that self-talk and self, the more that you tell something to yourself, the more that it affects your day, your week, your year, whatever it is. So that anchor word, I assume those anchor words aren't like negative, right? They're all positive and they're focusing in on something that you strive to be out of that day. So you had mentioned, what did you say? Unstoppable. Is that like, what's your word for the day? Like today, what's your word? Or did you pick a word today?
I'd have to pull it up. I want to say it's faith.
So you write these down?
I have a habit book. Yeah. My like own spreadsheet that I manage myself in.
Wow. And so every day, that's where you start your day.
Yeah.
And so what additionally goes into that book besides the word of the day? Like, is that your calendar? Is that your planner type of a thing?
No, actually I find that I have the capacity to like cover a bunch of ground in my head. And it's like R&D. That's where I do my work. That's where I get information. That's how I like connect with things, and it's an amazing experience. However, I also exist in a body on the ground. And so my habit book primarily helps me keep in mind, like, hey, you need to do this every so many days. And oh yeah, like you didn't do this last week, so you should do that this week. It helps me keep things on my radar that are important. I also track like what I'm doing with my body, any kind of notes, just to make it, I just love data. What can I say?
Yeah. So I didn't include this on the bullets either, but now that we're getting into the habit book, which I assume is habitbook.com, is that?
Yeah, actually, I mean, the way that a client uses it, the way that I'm describing it is maintenance phase.
Yeah.
A habit book includes a component that's just reality shifting, just kind of like shifting their focus. And does that right now, but
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So when I've gotten more into this, and as we talk, I'm like going down the different paths here. And so I've noticed there's two type of people when it comes to daily planning, and I'd love to get your take on this, is that there are list people that say, I have these five things. I'm a list person, by the way. So I have these five mission critical things that I have to get done today. I call them my bricks. And so like, these are like, they're not huge. They should be able to get done in a day. And if something throughout my day comes up and you're like, oh crap, I have to do this, I'll start my list for tomorrow. Unless it's something mission critical that can't wait or anything like that, and I got to fit it into my day today. But to stop myself from overwhelming myself, because I'm like a doer, right? Like I'm like, I have to do this right now, and I can easily get sidetracked. And so that's a list. I call those list people, right? And the other side of people I feel like are calendar people, where I'm starting to see this more and more, where people are like blocking out their day in their calendar to say, okay, from this hour, I'm doing this, from this hour, I'm doing this, from this hour, I'm doing this. And they schedule everything out from like brushing their teeth to eating dinner to like driving. So are you one of the two? I always say there's two different people, but are you one of those two? Or is there a different type of, is that when you get into habit books, is this a new type of person that I'm going to have to start asking this question about?
this or that. I think I've seen both of those. I think I tend more towards lists. And then this other one I'd like to kind of put on your radar.
Yeah.
Let's call these like star people.
Okay.
And essentially they ride a lot of creative winds and don't necessarily find force or structure helpful. So for them, I'll have them kind of identify stars. I'm working on this project. This is important. This is important. They keep those forefront of mind. They use their mind to sort of build out the details of them. And then they allow themselves to sort of flow to whatever's present and like build towards those. So they kind of, it's almost like you've got different stations and then you like do your station. And then when you're done with that station, you go to another station. So it just allows a little bit more fluidity and less judgment.
Yeah. Now with all of these, no matter which type of personality you align with, consistency is really what we're trying to achieve, right? And so what is the importance of consistency?
Yeah. Well, I think you nailed it. That's what it takes to achieve. And I think what I wanted to add to that was like, in addition, what's like more important than consistency and kind of generating a result, especially in the beginning, is the conversation. And so I work a lot with people who, like I said, they're trying to do something. They've been trying to do something for years. Like they just can't get this area off the ground. And often it's language that's kind of like holding them back. And so they've got this really strong narrative about why they're not doing what they could be or what they should be. And it's the narrative that holds them back, not the capacity or the interest. So I say like in developing consistency, keep the conversation to like a minimum. And I call it like drop the dot. So you just say say the minimal amount of stuff as possible. And then you put a period, like drop the dot, and then you're done. So you're not talking about, oh, I'll start dieting later, or I did this yesterday, or blah, blah, I'll explain why I did it like this. It's like, no dialogue, none. Mm. And you'd be surprised how quickly that allows for change in areas where there was none.
Wow. Okay. So you're saying keep it simple, stupid kind of a thing?
Yeah. Like keep it silent, stupid, if you can.
Yeah. How does that build on with consistency? Is that so you don't allow yourself to do that runoff that I have so much problem with? Is that what it helps with, or how does that help with consistency?
Wait, when you talk about runoff, what is it? You mean like time off the wagon?
No. So runoff for me, yeah, that's a good point. So runoff for me is I'll just go and I'll get very carried away with the where you're saying drop the dot, I will take that dot and make it a comma, and it turns into this run-on sentence for like 4 years, right? Where I'm just like, oh, I can do this, and then I can do this, and then I can do this. And so this little, what should have been something relatively simple to get done, turns into this like crazy run-on thing that has like sucked all of my attention for that day or week. And so that's why, that's really why I started developing the lists, is because I, without them, I call it the 1 o'clock feeling for me, where it's 1 o'clock and I'm like, holy crap, what did I get done today? Because I got sucked into this one thing. So dropping the dot for you, is that how you would deal with somebody like me who's just mind is going completely crazy?
Well, so whenever you're following those threads, is it mostly like you're, it's like, tell me your thought process around it. Like someone, hey, I have this thing, like, or how does it go? Like, how do you get run off?
Yeah. So it, for me, so for instance, for like, for one of my clients, right? So one of my clients would come to me and they'd say, hey, Roy, we want you to build a bot for us that does X, Y, and Z, right? And I do it and I build it. But while I'm building X, Y, and Z, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and all these other ideas that I'm getting, like I start to implement them into what their ask was. And so then it turns out to, next time I talk to them, I'm like, hey, look at this cool like thing that I thought of doing, you know, throughout this build. Right. And so it's just, it snowballs, I guess is probably a better word that to use in like a runoff, but everything just kind of snowballs. And I just get stuck doing one thing instead of multitasking, like I should be multitasking. And so I'll start to ignore some of those other daily tasks that I probably should be doing. And I get sucked up into like the new the shiny new object kind of a thing.
Yeah. Do you mind if I comment on that? Like,
please.
Suggestion?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I had you on the show to not talk about me. No, of course. Yeah, please.
All right.
Fix me.
What I would like, I always say, like, play it how it lies. And so the difficulty that people have generally isn't like, there's the thing. But there's also the tension of not doing the thing. And this is really like where the issue is. And this to me is like what suffering is. It's like, this is this unnecessary emotional experience on top of something. And so often that is a function of what we think versus what is. And so you think maybe you should be something that you're not. Mm-hmm. But if it sounds like a snowball is a pretty cool, like X-Men trick. Like if you were able to kind of like harness that, yeah, that's pretty awesome, you know, to have that as like a superhero kit. So maybe on your kit. So it's like, okay, maybe that's not the problem. Maybe it's just like, how can you set up your environment to sort up to support that being what's most natural to you? And that might look like having sort of like either like a hard stop at a time, or like putting your must-do items in the beginning of the day. And then after a certain time, you're allowed to like roll whatever way you want.
So just know that I'm going to be that way and that I am the way that I am, but make sure you get the other things first.
Yeah. I'm sort of saying like, hey, actually that might be like a really great thing about you. And so rather than try to change it, like how do we, I always think of like, this is true of pretty much everyone. Their greatest asset and their greatest weakness are like pretty much the same thing. Yeah. And the difference is just like how you hold it. And I think of like people learning to, you know, the like old, maybe old cartoons where there's a fire hose that's like, and there's somebody holding on that's like being flipped every which way.
Yeah.
Like you've got like this powerhouse of force, and it's just kind of like this. But once you like learn how to stand and hold it, it's like pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That the difference between our weakness and our strengths are, they're pretty much the same thing. It's just how you hold it. I love that. Because there's, I think of that when you're talking about things that you go through, like your struggles in life, where, you know, to circle it back from the beginning where you said you got in love. We, I don't think you use the word obsessed, but I'm going to use the word obsessed, where you had loved this sorrow and this struggle bus stuff, right? So like, I think that, and I hate to wish this upon my children, but I really want them to struggle in certain things. Like, I believe that everybody needs an obstacle. And so like, you can make up your obstacle. Like if you had a pretty good life, then like pick a villain that you want to go after. You know, hopefully not everybody has like a Crohn's disease. So I have Crohn's disease. And so that's my obstacle. And that's like my carrot, is that like, I'm going to beat Crohn's disease to get today. And like, I'm going to show people what somebody with Crohn's disease can get done, you know, that kind of a thing. Right. And I wouldn't have found some of the things that I found without these obstacles in my way. And so that holding the fire hose, where a lot of people could look at that and you're saying, well, I have to hold on to this freaking wild fire hose over here all the damn time. And how can I get anything done with that? Or exactly what you're saying, you could look at it and say, watch me hold this fire hose straight because nobody else can do this but me.
And that's good.
Right? I think it's pretty cool. Like, I feel like, and I hate to wish that upon my children, right? I'm like, man, my kid, he's going to have something that he struggles with. And it's like a kind of an evil thought as like a dad. But I mean that in like the best way possible, because there are certain things in life that like I or other people can't teach you without you physically being forced to go through that stuff. And overcoming it, right? Overcoming challenges is like a way that you really, I think that you really find yourselves. And so, but it's all about what we're talking about, consistency, remaining consistent through shit, right? Or internal struggles, right? And those help you, those internal struggles and whatever it is that you're dealing with, help you develop habits, which help you become a better person. And so now I think is a good time as ever to talk about internal versus external habits and what the difference between those are.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I'm talking about internal habits, these are kind of like, so I think the best way to describe it is like, I look out upon the world, I see things, and I'm using contact lenses. And so I could very well have on glasses. And when I'm talking about internal habits, I'm sort of talking about like what you see the world through. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily on your radar, but they're affecting everything that's on your radar, and their habits of interpretation, habits of meaning, and habits of focus. And so a habit of interpretation would be, let's say that, you know, in your formative years, you weren't getting feedback that your needs or your emotions were important. So that kind of like affects your glasses. And so as you look out onto the world, you're sort of coming from that place where you expect people not to do that, or that they are going to do that no matter what. And so there's sort of this way that like an interpretation would be, if that had been your experience, let's say you're in a new relationship, and in your new relationship, they didn't call you back when they said they would. So your assignment of value is that like, I'm not good enough, because that's sort of the messaging that you have on your glasses. That's the way you see things, that your needs aren't going to be met, that they don't matter if they get met. So everything that you sort of like interpret, you assign like meaning, and then you build your decision-making off of a meaning that's largely arbitrary. That makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And so these glasses, they change as our experiences change, or are like, do we hold on to these experiences? Like,
yeah, that's a good question. I think you can, it all sort of like, it's like layered. So if you have sort of a mark on your glasses that's like, I'm growth oriented and I love to see myself so that I can do that, then it changes like what happens on top of it. But if you're one of your primary lenses is that you're not good enough or you're not safe, then it does sort of like accumulate in a way that the choices that you see available just narrow and narrow and narrow over time.
And so how do we fix something that has a speck on our glasses, or do we figure out what, like some of the things that we can't do right or wrong, right? Something that we're good at or bad at. How do we take something that we're bad at and knowing that and still get, I don't know, how do we go around that, right? Like how do we know that we're bad at it, but still continue to move forward with our progressions and whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, great question. I found language to be sort of like the gateway. So you can kind of like listen to what you're saying about why you're doing something or why you're not doing something, and then kind of like put it on paper, and then you can do like investigative work around it, which is, it's kind of like, this is very neuro-linguistic programming. An example would be, someone says like, oh, I don't like dogs. Like maybe they had an experience with one dog and then they sort of like died in general. But we do that with, oh, I don't like to talk to people who do this. I don't like this about that. And it sort of like spans out. And essentially what we're doing is cutting ourselves off from an experience, from a limited piece of data. We found like, oh, this didn't work. So I went to one bad movie. I'm never going to the movie again. So if you start to listen to your language, you can see where you're saying things, and then you can ask like, is that really true? Is that true all the time?
Yeah. Sweeping generalizations, I believe is what that's called.
Yeah.
And so
I know that because I did this with my arm.
I know that because I took, I'm a communication major and I took psychology in college. And that's one of my most sweeping generalizations are one of my favorite things to talk about. So we might've just opened Pandora's box here when we talk about that. But yeah, sweeping generalizations are dangerous because then we get into like stereotypes and you can create these stereotypes around yourself. Or make exactly what you just talked about, those sweeping generalizations where you say, you know, like dogs, like, I don't like dogs. Why? Because you lived next to a dog when you were little and he bit you because like you were messing around with them. And so therefore you take that sweeping generalization and apply it across dogs and insert dog with whatever it could be. And if you don't like dogs, then stop listening to the show because I don't want you as a fan. And I mean that with the kindest heart because dogs are amazing, but sweeping generalizations are dangerous. And so how do we, but you take them and you talk about them as sweeping generalizations for ourselves, right? And so how do we take these sweeping generalizations that we're making about ourselves, saying like, I'm not a good public speaker? And how do we take steps of that towards, I am a good public speaker?
That's a great question. So it's language again. So we've got this definition of like good public speaker. Mm-hmm. We hold ourselves apart from it. We're like, this is my experience and this is what the criteria is and I'm not that. So I have to try to do something to be that. And if this is a little law of attraction and quantum physics, but like essentially when we hold ourselves apart from that experience by saying, I have to do something to be that, we're perpetuating the not that. And so I found the secret is to expand your definition so that you find yourself in alignment with it, either at an identity level or an action level. So if someone's picking up an exercise routine and they're like, oh, I haven't gone to the gym. It's like, okay, well, you also didn't go for the last 5 years. So what if we gave you a break and said like, hey, did you do like 5 more extra steps today? And then they start to say like, oh, I am doing that. Oh, I did do more laundry. Oh, I did this. And you start to identify as someone that moves or I like to exercise. And then that opens that door and breaks sort of those barriers.
Yeah. And so that I love that you brought up quantum physics and law of attraction, because I'm a big law of attraction guy. I take law of attraction to the point where and so we're going to keep law of attraction at a low level here, because I know that there are some people who might be listening that are like, yeah, law of attraction, parallel universes, let's go. But we're going to keep it. We're going to keep it micro level here for this conversation. But some of the things that I like to do with law of attraction is I will go eat pizza. So like we're looking at houses right now to move. So we love the house that we own right now. And it's a fantastic house, but it's not where we see ourselves in the next 5 to 10 years. Right. And so in doing that, we've circled neighborhoods, right? Like you pull up your favorite housing app and you circle your little finger around the map and then you get alerts of the pop-ups, right? So that's like one way to do it. But what we like to do is we like to go live, and I say that in quotation marks, in those circles for like weeks at a time. And so like if we want pizza, then we go to the pizza places in those bubbles. And if we want like a drink, we'll be like, all right, well, let's go to a brewery out near, you know, insert neighborhood. Obviously, this only works like if you're trying to like move within the same area. You know, I wouldn't drive to Johnstown to go have a drink from Washington, D.C., right? I wouldn't go to just drive Pennsylvania for like a 3-hour, 4-hour, 5-hour drive just to go get a pizza. But you start doing these things. And when you get yourself into this idea of seeing yourself, and then you can see yourself in living in that neighborhood and being in the neighborhood and raising your family in that neighborhood and having drinks there every day and whatever it is. Like, and so once you begin to realize or see that this is possible, then it becomes less of a dream and more of like something that you want to get accomplished. That when you're talking about public speaking, let's just bring it back to the two boxes that you just drew. When you say, I am a good public speaker. So you're saying the first step one is to stop saying I'm not something, because that takes you down the negative path. And if you're in the quantum physics world, you start attracting negative things to you, right? There's the good and the bad. And if you focus on the bad, then more bad will attract to you, right? So that's step one, is stop saying that you're not good at something. And so then step two is what? Just to start public speaking, to start speaking more, or what is step two?
Step two is to notice where you already are. And so when we look back at definitions, someone says public speaking means I'm standing at a podium in front of 30 people. but maybe that person actually public speaks every morning to like to people who report to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they public speak. So it's just like maybe at their family reunion, they have no problem standing up karaoke. Well, like, hey, bro, like that's kind of public speaking. And so you just look for where actually you're kind of doing that. And then you start to zero in on those wins and look for what wins and look where else it happens.
And so being able to look at those and seeing those wins, that changes your highlight reel in your mind. So you say, oh man, like I do get to lead the stand-up meeting every morning and I have to speak to do that. So maybe, and so then those I'm not start to become I am a little bit more. And that's the goal, right? Is to build momentum.
No, you're right. Like when we go back to that original recommendation where I was saying like the most important thing in kind of starting a new habit is a conversation. If we look at it from like a reality or experience or even frame creation, whatever I'm saying all the time is pretty much what I'm perpetuating. And so if I've got a narrative that's running all the time that's explaining why I can't be a public speaker because of this event in third grade, or if I've got a narrative that's preparing to somehow get out of the lineup of having to, like, so if I'm running that all the time, all I'm basically saying big and loud is like, I'm not good at this. And so it's like, in my new protocol, Hope Rehab, I talk about focus fingers, and it's like, you've got four fingers talking about that. You've got four fingers of four employees delegated on explaining why you're not that. That only leaves six to deal with what's present. And you probably got two that are judging you for these. And so maybe you only have like three to work with what's present. And the idea is basically to free up your bandwidth so you can zero in on the skill, do it, and also create a new narrative.
So that gets into just do it, right? And we're not talking about Nike. But there's that in our minds where we have to just do something. So for me, I'll just be upfront. I hate to go to the gym. Like I have a gym membership and I go like two or three times a week. But the way that I've started to get back into going to the gym or working out rather is I play hockey. And so I love to play hockey. I play ice hockey. And so I know that one or two days a week, I'm going to go skate my ass off against other individuals. And, you know, hopefully we win. That, and I look at that and I say, you know what? I am active. I can get back into working out and I can start going to the gym again, but I still see myself talking to it because it's not enjoyable for me to go to the gym. I know some people are like, that's their breathe. You know, that's how they clear their minds and stuff like that. So that gets into like, just do it, Roy, that self-talk where you're like, you have to do this, go do this. You're going to love it. So how do we reach that just do it within our minds as we're going through and we're going through the mentality of something that we don't want to do, right? So for me, it's easy for me to get off my ass and go play hockey. I assume for you, it's easy in the morning to go to the gym because it's something that you obviously has made a part of your morning because you enjoy it. And I could be wrong there, but how do we get to that point of just do it so that those things that we don't want to do become habit?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I may take this back to like, remember I was saying like, flow with you. It's yeah. Like, so if we look at the glasses, maybe part of the glasses is like, how do I be different than I am? You know? Yeah. And so It sounds like hockey is like the hardest sport in my opinion, because it's like all the other sports together on ice, you know?
Yeah.
So like, and actually I drew this earlier and I'm so glad that I have an opportunity to talk to it. It's basically like saying the point of doing anything ultimately is to feel good, you know? I want to be fit. I want to have a gym practice so that I feel good. And so I have this like line under here that's like, okay, these are the things that I have to do to be able to feel good. When in truth, feeling good is available all the time. And so it's like, okay, I'm not going to hold myself apart from the experience of feeling good until I've done something. I'm going to allow myself to feel good now, which again is sort of counterintuitive, but allows the thing to happen. It's so much easier to do stuff when you feel good rather than when you're fighting yourself. And I'd also ask like stretching definitions again, like maybe like if it's like trying to force this door, like, oh, I have to go in this door to get in this building. Whereas like there's another door three down that you would run into because you love it. Mm-hmm. So it's why, if you can kind of like relax the idea that you have to do it this way, what appears is like easier and natural.
Yeah. So you're saying I don't have to go to the gym. I can just play hockey more.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I like that. I'm going to tell my wife now that I had to play hockey 5 days a week. Thank you, Shaylee. I appreciate that. No, to be honest with you, though, so I play golf as well. And so golf is a big distressor for me. I get to go outside. I get to, you know, hit a little white, shiny golf ball. Hopefully it goes straight. And so I'll circle back to saying that I have Crohn's disease. And so one of the things of Crohn's disease for me, a trigger, is high stress environments. And so if I have a whole lot of stress built up, I carry my stress in my intestines. And so my doctor, in one of our consultations, he's been my doctor since I was 18, knows me really well. And he says, Roy, like, what is something for you that alleviates stress? Like, whatever, what is something that you can do in the moment that will get rid of all your stress? Because that's your natural medication against fighting this. So what's something that you really love to do? And I was like, man, I love to play golf. And he literally wrote me a prescription to play more golf. He said, okay. And he wrote it out, signed it, everything. He was like, here, give this to your wife. And it's, I'm telling you that you can go play golf once a week. And I'm like, hell yeah, man. So, but I love that idea, that thought process of, it's like, if you have to get fit, let's stay on that for a little bit. There's that idea and there's that door that you have to do that by, you know, eating, starving yourself. You got to do a Whole30 or paleo, and you have to go to the gym, and you have to get on the elliptical or whatever, right? And maybe those are things you all hate. But there is another door over there, to use your example, that you could walk through, see the same results, that is basically saying the exact same thing, right? We're still going to get fit, but maybe you really like to, you know, in my instance, play hockey, or you really love to like go on hikes, or, you know, maybe it's not, you don't have to go on Whole30 and starve yourself, but maybe you just stop drinking soda and start it one step at a time or whatever. I love that. I love that door analogy. So with that, how do we find the things that we do love that can play into our better self, right? That gets into like connecting our reality and our goals and where we want to be, which I've heard you talk on this quite some time. And so how do we connect what is actually a reality, and how do we connect that with our goals that we're moving towards?
Well, first, I love the prescription thing, and that's so true. And it's like such a simple thing. But for one reason or another, we've been like coerced away from simple. It's like, and honestly, that's like a glasses thing where it's like, my identity is that I need to work really hard, my identity. And so like, I look out into the world and I'm like, okay, what's challenging for me now, where it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Yeah.
So like, in bringing sort of the reality to, or the dream to the reality, or the reality to the dream, I'd say like, again, it's really like definition oriented. It's so crazy. Our emotions are pretty much in response to our thoughts, and our thoughts are basically assigning meaning. Hey, this is going the way I want, or it's not, or it means this, or it means that. And then we have an emotional experience, and our experience could be like, yeah, this is great. Or our emotional experience could be like, I'll never get there, I'll never do this. So I'd say like the best anchor, or the best like frame is really just like, okay, like, where am I actually already that? Where am I already in service? How am I already a little bit healthier mentally than I was before? Where am I, you know, a good dad? Where am I this? Like, zero in on where it's happening, and then that expands your experience of it, and then you kind of like build out that world a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I do that. I'm glad that you brought up the whole dad thing, because I feel like as dads, and hopefully there's a lot of dads listening to me, because I have 4 children and I have something to give. Maybe it won't have anything to do with changing diapers. But as a dad, right, you have these times where you're like, am I doing the right thing? Or as a parent in general, you're like, am I doing the right thing? Am I a good parent? Am I doing what's best for the kids? Like, was I too hard on them? Blah, 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 blah. And so oftentimes as a parent, we have that mentality where we're like, I'm not doing the right thing. But if you take a step back, exactly what you're talking about, and we focus on what it is that we are good at, then we can build upon that. And that's more fun, more enjoyable. We're not like beating ourselves up while doing that. And we're focusing on what it is that we're good at. And then it can expand that instead of trying to, and in turn, we'll decrease what we're not doing correctly. We can't ignore what we're not doing correctly, but we can replace that with something that we are doing correctly. So I love that view on reality and expanding our goals and seeing reality of who we are and who we want to be, instead of focusing on what we're not.
Just kind of going back to like, what's like keeping the main thing, like feeling good. So imagine like your children's experience of you when you're like beat down because like you beat yourself down versus like your children's experience of you when you're feeling like really good and lit. I think that when we allow for that to be true, that it's not really what we're doing, but how we're doing it that makes the biggest difference. It really helps relax all the judgment, a lot of the ideas, and bring you back to like, what is the main thing? And just recognizing like the stuff that's wrong, it's so much easier to address it when you feel good.
Yeah.
Like so much easier. And so I try to tell everybody or like all my clients, all the work is really just like let yourself get here first. And then you can build whatever you want. You can change whatever you want. But if you can get yourself to feel good first, it'll be so much easier.
This has been an awesome conversation, Shaylee.
Thanks.
So how can somebody get in touch with you to have expand upon this conversation?
Thanks. Yeah. So at habitbook.com has pretty much all of my social media links and everything else that I'm doing. I also have a really exciting program I will be releasing shortly called Hope Rehab. And it's basically just like little perspective hacks, little mindfulness strategies that create space inside so that your ideas aren't holding you apart from feeling good. And I've done my best to make it like as quick, as simple, as easy as possible because it's like sexy or complex or hard or complex is sexy, but like, it's not really getting you to the thing. Like, let's get you there now. And so I'm super excited to bring that to the market. And if that sounds like a good thing for you, you can reach out on my contact form or look for the Hope Rehab volunteer link.
Awesome. Awesome. Guys, reach out to Shaylee, habitbook.com. I love it. And thank you so much for hopping on. I'll see you at the next family reunion, I assume.
Yeah, see you there.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Innovare Podcast. You can listen to all episodes at InnovarePodcast.com, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you enjoy watching podcasts, check us out on YouTube for a visual behind-the-scenes look at all Innovare Podcast episodes. We have recently released a community of entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook at Innovare Mindset. That's Innovare Mindset to join the private group of entrepreneurs changing the world. Until next time, guys, see ya.